Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that lights our path, Lord. We thank you for the living lamp within us, the Holy Spirit, our friend, our helper in every situation. Lord, we lean on you today and we look to you. Open our eyes, open our ears. I pray for a fresh sensitivity to come in our hearts, our spirits, Lord, to hear and be led by you in all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin a series this week on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as you well know, there are 9 gifts, right, in the Holy Spirit that are expressed through the Holy Spirit. There are other things he expresses, but there are 9 defined for us in the Word of God. And as we start this series off, I really felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to start with this topic, and that is this: our need for revelation. Our need for revelation. That's what today's subject is going to cover, our need for revelation. Now, let me give you an outline of where we're starting at here in Genesis 41. Joseph has suffered 3 major blows in his life. He's a beautiful picture of suffering. He's actually a symbol of Jesus, isn't he, in many ways. But Joseph has been sold into slavery there in Egypt by his brothers. He's been betrayed by his family. He's been accused by Potiphar's wife wrongfully. You know, if ever there was a man who kept his integrity and ran when temptation was at his doorstep, Joseph is the poster child for fleeing temptation. And yet he was wrongfully accused and thrown into another prison, the king's dungeon. And then thirdly, he was forgotten by the cupbearer. All right. And I was writing how many ways Joseph was wrong. He was wrong by his family. He was wrong by his master. And he was wrong by the cupbearer. You remember there was 2 men that were thrown into prison with him, the baker and the cupbearer. And both of them had dreams, and Joseph interpreted those dreams, and the baker got, right? He got his head lifted off at the next party. The cupbearer got restored to his position and totally forgot about Joseph. Can you believe it? Yeah. I mean, he got set free from prison by this man's revelation, and yet he forgot. The scripture says so wonderfully, it says, and he forgot about Joseph. God obviously wasn't done building the character in Joseph that would qualify him to stand as the king of Egypt, second in command. He needed about 2 more years. God said, I know what's needed for character. And it says it was 2 years later. Now that's where we're at in Genesis 41. That's where we're going to begin this morning. Joseph has suffered 2 agonizing long years thinking, I've been totally forgotten in here. And he told the guy, when the guys got set free, he said, don't forget me. Okay. 2 years have just passed. And we start off in verse 14. Well, before I read verse 14, Pharaoh's had a dream in the first part of the chapter. Pharaoh's had a dream that he can't interpret, and no one else can. But someone in his court, the cupbearer, remembers, and he says, oh, today I'm reminded. Look at verse 9. We'll back up to verse 9. The chief cupbearer says, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. Hello. Pharaoh was angry with his servants. He imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. And a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams. He interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation, and things turned out exactly as he interpreted to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged. Verse 14 is where we're picking up. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph. And he was quickly, say quickly.
Quickly.
Sometimes our promotion will come quickly. Yeah. I mean overnight, boom. When the Holy Ghost gets hold and it's God's timing, boom. Your promotion can hit quickly. Yes. That's a word for somebody. You may have been waiting 2 seemingly agonizing years, symbolically speaking, and all of a sudden, quickly, you're sent for. Amen. It can happen overnight in Jesus. Amen. He's brought from the dungeon, and when he had shaved, obviously he needed that, and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh said to Joseph, verse 15, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now Joseph's standing at the brink of his deliverance, is he not? His freedom, his vengeance against all who have wronged him. And in this moment, it appears he is about to do a Charlie Brown spelling bee misstep. You remember when Charlie Brown misspelled beagle? He gets in the limelight, and this is his moment. I mean, he owns a beagle. Snoopy's his lifelong companion. And what does he do? He blows it. B-E-A-G-E-L. Right? And Joseph stands before Pharaoh, and what does he say? Look at the first words in verse 16. I cannot do it. What? I mean, that could have been grounds for execution right there. Why is this man brought before me? He's supposed to interpret my dream. You brought him from the dungeon. He still reeks of the dungeon, even though he's shaved and taken a bath and changed his clothes. And Joseph says, I cannot do it. Sit on that for a moment. I cannot do it. That took some courage to say those words. That's a gutsy Hebrew, isn't it? I love them. I love those gutsy Hebrews in the Bible. I cannot do it, Joseph replies to Pharaoh. But, there's the kicker right there. God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. That's supply right there. He's basically saying, I'm just conduit, Pharaoh. I got nothing in me. I'm just a channel. And so I want to pose this question. Why do we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I'm teaching on for the next several weeks? Why do we need these nine gifts? Why do we need revelation knowledge given to us as God's children in every situation? Because we cannot do it.
Amen.
And it takes a smart sheep, it takes a smart believer to admit those four words. I cannot do it. Now, men are sometimes slow to ask for directions, slow to call for help. I don't know about ladies, but men are. Ladies seem a little more, you know, whatever they are in that regard. But men are sometimes slow to say those four words, I cannot do it. And yet, to be successful in life, to step into your highest destiny in Jesus, to move from glory to glory and faith to faith and strength to strength and one victory after another like David did, you must be willing to admit, I cannot do it. That's what Joseph said. But God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God will reveal. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says here, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What wisdom are you and I to be operating in, day out? The hidden wisdom of God. I mean, for every situation, saints. Can't figure out how to fix that leaky faucet. Can't figure out the way to make the best cake recipe. Whatever it is. In every situation, you are rightfully in line to receive the hidden wisdom of God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look at verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Now all of a sudden Paul starts talking about the devil and his group. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He's saying there that Satan had no clue on the wisdom of God. He didn't have any revelation. If he had, he would never have crucified Jesus. And that's the kind of wisdom that we're called to tap into day in and day out. That kind of revelation. Amen? Now look at verse 9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But, don't stop at verse 9, ever. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen? For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then he goes into verse 11, talking about the spirit of a man. What knows the thoughts of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. He's saying the Holy Spirit is like the human spirit. Your human spirit knows your inner thoughts. God's Holy Spirit knows God's inner thoughts. That's what he's saying there. Are you with me? Now, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. Say no. And I hope you got your pens and highlighters out for this message today. There's a lot of verses to highlight here. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Saints, it's important for us to know. We're called to be children in the know. Verse 13, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. For the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, they're foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Elsewhere in Scripture, Paul calls us children of light. He says we're called children of light. And as children of light, our rightful inheritance from God is what? Enlightenment. Enlightenment. That's your rightful inheritance. That's the best word I can think of at the moment. That's your inheritance as a child of light, to walk in enlightenment, not darkness, not confusion. Those are elements for the world. If they don't have the light of life, then they're walking in darkness. But we're not in the darkness, are we?
No.
Should eliminate from your speech, take a little deviation here regarding our words, eliminate things like, I just can't figure out. I get so confused when... Why are you saying things like that? Because you're leaning to your own mind, your own perception of the situation, rather than leaning on the revelation from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows in every situation what to do. The Holy Spirit knows every situation what the truth of the matter is. He knows the root of the matter. Amen? He's not in the dark about nothing. And we shouldn't be either if we're leaning on Him, if we're trusting in Him. One of the gifts of the Spirit we'll study during these coming weeks is the word of knowledge. Notice it's not called the word of guessage. We're not called to guess. We're not called to suspect. We're not called to wonder. We're called to know. Yes. If God doesn't reveal it to you, then just stay in the unknown on the matter, okay? Be willing to admit your lack of knowledge in it. But you're not called to confusion. You're not called to darkness. You're not called to wondering. You're called to know. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. This will be familiar to most, probably memorized by most. You should have this memorized. We learned this one when I was real little. And it should stay with you for life. Amen. Because sheep can get a little sophisticated in their old age. They need to be reminded of this verse. Proverbs 3:5. Look at Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not. Say that. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Why does the Bible command us not to do certain things sometimes? Because we're prone to do them. We're prone to lean to our own understanding. Why? Because Adam, in his original sin, became independent of God. He started making decisions outside of God's revelation. He started leaning on his own dependence, his own ability to quote-unquote be like God. But we're called not to lean to our own understanding. Look at further, verse 6. In all thy ways, say all. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Which paths does he direct? The ones you acknowledge, that you acknowledge with him. Amen? We give him permission when we lean on him. Amen? We open the door for revelation to come. Now look at verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What is evil? Well, evil is the way each of us would go without God. That's evil. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Evil is not just committing some heinous crime out here against another human being. Evil is anything human driven outside of divine revelation. That's just plain evil. That's how evil our world is. I'm sorry to break the news to you, but that's where we're living. Right? Even Christians can walk in darkness. Yeah. I'll say it. I know it's a harsh word. Evil. When we're leaning to our own understanding and living life from our own brain, unrenewed brain at times, we're walking in evil. And the scripture says here, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear or reverence the Lord. Lean on him. Look at verse 9. This is, verse 8. This is so powerful. It shall be. What's it? It is when you're dependent on, when you're trusting in, when you're leaning not to your own understanding, when you're trusting in Him and acknowledging Him in all things, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good promise?
Yes.
Want to live a long, happy life? Want to have such good health? You know, good health comes from knowing you've done the right thing. You lay your head down at night knowing, man, I made the right decision there. I'm at peace. That's as good as health to your navel, your belly button. That's as good as marrow to your bones. I mean, that feeds you. The scripture's not talking symbolically here. It's literal, saints. This is health to you and I. And it comes as we lean not to our own understanding, as we trust in Him in all things and His revelation. But you know what's so hard about this? Is admitting that you just don't know. That's the hard part. Because again, the original sin with Adam was pride. I'm not going to ask for directions. I know which way to go. And you stumble off the cliff in the dark, right? Into evil. Because you tried to do it on your own. Don't do that. That's what the scripture is saying here. Have you ever heard of the Gibeonite deception in the Bible? Do you know that story? Some of you do. Some of you don't. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 9. We're going to read about the Gibeonite deception today. This is an interesting story that illustrates what I'm talking about. Joshua chapter 9. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Sixth book in from the left. If you're flipping. Okay, go to Joshua chapter 9. Let's read beginning in verse 4. Now Joshua, you know, these guys have just had their big victory at Jericho. That'll put a little pride under your, you know, notch in your belt. A t-shirt, I conquered Jericho. I mean, right? Joshua rightfully wears that shirt. Yeah? But we get to about chapter 9 in Joshua, and look what happens here in verse 4. Well, starting 3. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, there's the story. However, when the people of Gibeon, I'll tell it better than he will. When the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. That's what my translation says. Or they laid plans to trick him. Right? Are you with me? Verse 4. Not with that other guy. With me. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with, look at these words, underline this if or highlight it in your Bibles there, worn out sacks, old wineskins, cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals, I underline that too, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Say, dry and moldy. Man, they got the theatrics going on, don't they? They got the old clothes, the old shoes, the old saddlebags, and the old bread. And they're coming to Joshua, and look what happens. Where are we? Verse 6. They went to Joshua into the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Yeah, right. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, I'm going to skip over into NIV. I got to go a little more modern. Men of Israel said to the Hivites, but perhaps you live near us. How can we make a treaty? How then can we make a treaty with you? What were they told to do? Wipe them all out. That was God's command when they came into the promised land. Don't spare anybody. And these guys are tricking them. Verse 8, we are your servants, they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, who are you and where do you come from? They answered, your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it. Well, they're laying it on thick, aren't they? At home on the day we left to come to you. But now, see, I hope you underline that, circle that word right there. He's asking Joshua to see with his natural eyes and make a decision based on what he sees. See how dry and moldy the bread is? And these wineskins that were filled were new, but see how cracked they are? And our clothes and our sandals are worn out by the very long journey. Now look at verse 14. Here's the key. The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. They sampled their provisions. They looked at everything that was laid out before them and did not ask. They said within themselves, we can do it. We can make this decision. We can make a judgment call here as to whether these guys' story is false or true. And they didn't ask the Lord. What would the Lord have said if they'd asked him? Oh, he'd have nailed these guys. Now, it wasn't the end of the story is not totally disastrous, but it did cost them. They had to do an overnight march. If you read on further the next chapter or so, the Gibeonites came under attack because when their fellow, Canaan land enemies of Israel people learned that they had made a treaty with Joshua, they went after them. And they cried out to, they sent letters to Joshua saying, hey, come save us. And Joshua and his army had to march overnight. They had to do a whole overnight march. It cost them. Mm-hmm. It cost them in strength, energy, and distraction to go save the Gibeonites. Why? Simply because they did not inquire of the Lord. Are you with me? All we have to do is ask. I wrote this down. Your eyes will fool you. You must have revelation by the Lord. Saints, our eyes will fool us. These stories were written down for our instruction, okay? Are you with me? These are not just good Bible stories to read before the kids go to bed. These are for us, okay? This is a reminder to us. We cannot go by what we see. The moldy bread, worn out sandals, etc. Don't make a decision based on what you see. Inquire of the Lord. Are you with me? Hello? Your eyes will fool you. They'll either be distracted by the false or they'll be blind to the true. And how many of you know sometimes it takes God's revelation to open our eyes even to what is true? So as we begin this series, as we start into this idea of opening our lives up to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we first must recognize our deep, deep need as humanity for revelation. To say within ourselves as Joseph did as he stood before the man who could set him free, the man who could change his life like that, I cannot do it. That's humility to admit that, isn't it? Yes. Revelation is greater than information. Let me give you another example. Write this down if you're taking notes. Revelation, and then put the greater sign. You know how the greater, it looks like the alligator mouth, right? In math, they taught you the greater and the lesser. So put your alligator mouth toward the word revelation. Revelation is greater than information. And we get information from our five senses, right? What we see, what we hear, what we perceive, what we think in our brain. And that's where Joshua went wrong. Revelation comes from God alone. Amen? And that's what we're called to live by. Daily. He wants to walk with us. And to talk with us, and to call us his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none of them can ever know, right? We're called to walk by the Spirit, daily, in every area. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 16, another example. 1 Samuel 16. Our need for revelation is what we're talking about today. Our great, great need for revelation. 1 Samuel 16. Now God has told Samuel, anoint who I tell you to as the new king of Israel. And Samuel has called all of Jesse's sons to a feast. It's really kind of a prop. He just didn't want to get in trouble with King Saul. But he said, God told him, he said, go to this family and tell them you're throwing a feast, a celebration, and invite them to the feast. And so Samuel sets this meeting up. And Jesse brings in all his sons, right? He's got seven sons plus David. And the firstborn, Eliab, comes before Samuel, and Samuel looks at him, and he's probably tall, dark, and handsome, as firstborns often are. And look at what he says in verse 6, 1 Samuel 16, 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But look at verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart." Saints, we can't afford to look at the outward appearance of nothing. This world is full of smoke and mirrors. Are you with me? You must know. You must have divine revelation. You must admit to God, "I cannot do it. I need you. I need thee every hour." And he will. He will reveal it to you as he did to Samuel in this case. It was very tempting to say, "Oh, Eliab, man, this was easy, God. This is an easy gig. Eliab, okay, come over here. I want to anoint you. You're the next king." No. God says, don't look at him. Don't look at what you see outwardly. It'll fool you. Look at Psalm 147. Are you with me today?
Yes.
Psalm 147, verse 5. Psalm 147, 5. "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Let's read it again. "Great is our Lord," Psalm 147, 5, "and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." We cannot do it. Psalm 32. David wrote this psalm, Psalm 32, verse 7. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." Verse 8, "I will." Now who's talking here? Not David any longer. He's kicked into prophesying mode. This is thus saith the Lord. And God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not ye as the horse or as the mule." Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't be a mule." Just making sure you're awake. And your neighbor's awake. Scripture says here, "Don't be like a horse or a mule which have no understanding." Say, "No understanding." What do we read in Psalm 147 just a moment ago? God's understanding is limitless. And he says here, "Don't be like a horse or a mule that has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." God says, don't be stubborn, where I have to pull you with a bit and a bridle, make it painful on you to do the right thing.
Good. Yeah.
"I will instruct you," he said. "I'll teach you. I will guide you." But we have to be willing to be fought, to be led. Amen? That's all it takes. Just a willingness on our part to be led. Don't be a mule. Don't forget that today. All right? Every time you drive down the road, you see someone riding out in their pasture with one of those Kawasaki mules. Remember that. Psalm 32. Don't be a mule. Don't be a mule. We're not called to be mules. Hey, you're not called to learn by hard knocks.
That's good. Yeah.
There's very little time left for that, saints, honestly. We're entering the final hours of history. It's harvest time. Amen?
Amen?
It's time for us to be sensitive, listening, following, being led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Walking in divine revelation in every area. Souls are at stake. It's not just about you. There are souls that are at stake. It's important that we follow the Lord. Don't be a mule. Jude describes it this way. He says, in the last days, evil men will come. And here's how he describes them. He said, they'll follow mere instincts because they have not the Spirit of God. And that's not us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? We're not to follow mere instincts. That's what the evil men do. That's according to Jude. Jude verse 19, if you're taking notes, Jude verse 19, you can read it later. He said, these men follow their mere instincts and do not have the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 14, 12 and Proverbs 16, 25 are identical passages. Let me quote that to you. Some of you know it. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads to Say it real loud. Death. There are times in life when what we feel is the right way to go, it seems right to us. Isn't that amazing that a death path can seem right? Does that not wake you up this morning? And it can lead to death. But it feels so right in here. It seems so right. And it's so wrong. That's what the scripture's saying. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. Look at Deuteronomy 6:4. Deuteronomy 6:4. Say, I cannot do it. Yeah, that's what Joseph said. I cannot do it. Not without God. Deuteronomy 6:4. The opening words here are very critical. Hear, O Israel. This is a famous passage. It's considered, in fact, Jesus was asked in Mark chapter 12. He said, someone came to him and said, Master, which is the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus said, this one. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel. Then he goes on to talk about love, you know, loving God with all of our being. But notice the opening line. Hear. Hear. So hard to stop and listen sometimes, isn't it? And Jesus said the greatest command of all starts with hearing. Hearing. Listening for God. They that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God because they're listening. They're hearing. So what Jesus said was most important in life. Hearing. Hearing. Turn over to Psalm 81, verse 8. Psalm 81, 8. I'm giving you a lot of scripture today. But we're in church. We don't mind reading the Bible now, do we, saints? Just checking. Where is our world going to when people don't read the Bible in church, huh? Psalm 81, 8. Look at 81, 8. I didn't bring any Reader's Digest issues with me. This is all Bible, okay? Are you with me? Psalm 81:8. Hear, O my people, hear. Listen. In the Hebrew, the word is Shema. Shema. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would but listen to me, O Israel. And God is saying that many times with us. I'll save you the trouble if you just listen. Verse 9, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen. If Israel would follow my ways. Verse 14, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him and their punishment would last forever. But you, Israel, would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. And that's God's cry to us as well. You know, we are the spiritual Israel. You do know that. And we have the tendency and the possibility to fall into the same traps that Israel fell into. All the things we read about in the Old Testament, every one of them. Paul said, these things were written for our examples. Don't ever think you're above falling into the Gibeonite deception and being tricked by someone who's got moldy bread and worn out sandals. They're out there, trust me. And God says, if you would but listen, I'd cause your enemies to submit to you and I'll feed you with the best of life. If you'll just listen. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, the great chapter talking about Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep. Look at verse 27 of John chapter 10 with me, please. You know, we're always joking about how dumb sheep are. And most of us don't really know that firsthand. I mean, I wasn't in 4-H when I was in the hospital. I don't know about you. That wasn't my crowd. But some of you were. Some of you have worked with sheep and donkeys and goats. I haven't. But I've heard stories that they're pretty dumb, right? And we tend to laugh in church. We talk about how dumb sheep are. If you let them, they'll just, you know, kind of roam off on their own and get into trouble. It's easy to laugh about it, but forget about our own tendency to be a dumb sheep. And the Bible calls us sheep. We're children, yes, because of the blood of Jesus, but we're also called sheep. And it's amazing day to day how we can forget our way. And we can lose our way. And we can forget what God's told us. And we can start stepping in the wrong path. He says here in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice." My sheep hear my voice. That's a promise as much as it is a sobering thought, isn't it? If you're Jesus' sheep, he has put in you the innate ability to hear his voice. You don't need to worry. I've lost it. Remember the ant on Bug's Life? I love that movie. There was a rock that got in his way. Ah, we've lost the path. Just go around the rock, you know? But sometimes we stop and we ask that question in our mind. I don't think I can hear God anymore. Of course you can. Are you his sheep? Bah. You hear his voice. Mm-hmm. According to John 10:27. You have the ability. Say, I have the ability. To hear the voice of my good shepherd. That's what John 10:27 tells us. His sheep hear his voice. The real question is, are we listening? That's what we read in Psalm 81. I know we covered a lot of scripture today. Are we listening? Some of the most mighty people I've seen move in the gifts of the Spirit in church services, what I noticed about them was their keen, honed skill at stopping and listening in here. It wasn't so much what was happening out here, that they were some blabbermouth, you know, great prophetic person. I mean, you got to say something, amen? When God moves, you got to speak. But that wasn't the power that they had developed in their life. It was the ability to stop and listen. Joseph was given great power and great authority because of his ability to stop and listen and let God reveal things to him, like God wants to reveal to us. He just asks us to listen. I got your attention, didn't I? It's amazing when we get quiet what we can hear. But our life, our world is so noisy. And if you're not careful, you begin living your life out of this hamster wheel buzz of, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And your brain starts telling you, you can do this, you can do this. And the devil says, you can do it, you can do it. You can. Just follow the worn out sandals and the moldy bread. I'll lead you right down the path to death. And Jesus says, if you'll just listen to me, I'll reveal. I'll give you victory. And I'll feed you with the finest of wheat. Yes. He said it this way in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, what do you have to do? Ask. And he does what? He gives it liberally. And he upbraideth not. That's an old King James word. It means he's not going to scold you for asking. Right. He's not going to mock you for being dumb. He knows we're sheep. He expects it. But he wants us to lean on him. And if you will but ask, he will fill you with his wisdom. Amen? Stand together with me. Our need for revelation. For we cannot do it. Whatever you're facing today, it's okay if you've hit a wall. It's all right. That's a great place to be. Because in that place, when you say to yourself, finally, and sometimes it takes a bit for the Lord to bring us there, I think he's involved sometimes as well to help teach us, you cannot do it. Lean on me. No, I'm not going to sing the song. But that's what he asked of us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're here. You're in us as the great helper. And you said if we would but ask, you would give us liberally the wisdom of the ages. For your understanding knows no limit. You see it all. You see behind every facade. You see behind every mask, every ruse. And you will lead us in triumph as we lean on you. Lord, I thank you for the ability as your people to humble ourselves. And like Joseph say, we cannot do it without you. We need you every hour. And we thank you, Jesus. You are our helper. Holy Spirit, you are our divine helper. Over and over and over again, you help us. Now, whatever's facing you today, saints, just call it done in your heart. Not because of your ability to conquer it, or your wisdom, or your smarts, but because you have heard the word today, and you're going to start applying it. And you're going to lean on him who has limitless understanding, and he will lead you in the way everlasting. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands to him for a moment. He told us at the beginning of the year, prepare for war. But we don't win the battle in our own strength. We don't win the battle in our own smarts. We lean on the Lord. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, that in every situation you cause us to triumph. In every situation you cause us to rise in victory as we hear you. Hallelujah. You are great, God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, God bless you. Remember to see Lewis after the service. If you're interested in being a part of this outreach team, we're going to do our first outreach the last Sunday of March. It's the Sunday before Easter. So March 28th will be the first Sunday that we take teams out into the community. If you'd like to be a part of that, you'll be able to come in on Sunday mornings, be a part of praise and worship, and then we'll dismiss you. We'll pray over the teams before you go out that second Sunday of the month. If you'd like to be a part, see Lewis in the back. He'll sign you up and get you going. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.